Okay, so as Philip said, I was in the school for almost a year, for a morning or afternoon a week, conducting some research with teachers that were engaging with the centre, but also teachers who were not engaging with the centre. So trying to find out why those teachers were not engaging, barriers to engaging, the experiences of teachers who were engaging, and just trying to kind of get a bit more information about how that kind of worked within this particular school context. So I started off with a questionnaire and asked all teachers to tell me if there were any particular barriers to doing research in general. So you can imagine what was the main thing that came up. Time with an exclamation mark. Just time. Time and teacher workload. So almost everybody said time is an issue. Workload is an issue. Space to do the research is an issue. Another teacher told me that it's quite hard to have enough engaged and interested people who also have a bit of time. So time comes into everything. And then, of course, time is always a barrier. So I think I probably should have started off by saying, apart from time, what are the different barriers to engaging and doing your own research? But I'll come back to this point because I think it's a really important one for thinking about how to support teachers doing their own research. So in terms of looking at identity of teachers and researchers, we talked a bit about whether being a researcher is actually just part of being a teacher. And there was an assumption there that I made that most teachers are not doing research, whereas I was corrected by this teacher who told me there shouldn't be an assumption that they're not doing research. And you know, generally, there is this kind of idea that research is done by people in white coats within higher education. But I was told off here for assuming that, you know, not every teacher will have that interpretation of it. So I find that quite interesting. Another person told me that, of course, research fundamentally improves teaching. There's no question in my mind you can't differentiate between the two. So this person really did see it as part of what they were doing. Anyway, it's part of the job. This person themselves didn't see it as an add-on, as something extra. Said that they would love to see it as really at the centre of their job. But then they started talking about, but it would be seen as something extra by other people. So in a way, it didn't matter how they viewed it. It was how it would be viewed by other teachers within their school and the system more widely, which suggests that maybe there's a wider change that needs to happen there. There were also different understandings of what research and inquiry mean and who can do them. So one teacher told me that for it to be research, you have to make a contribution to understanding more broadly rather than just being a better teacher. But as you know from what Kate's just talked about, it's not just that. There's so many different forms, and if it improves your teaching, then that is research, it's inquiry. This person said, although they had actually been doing research, that they wouldn't count themselves as a researcher because they've read however many articles, studies and databases, which to me sounds like a lot of engaging with research. But they said that, you know, just looking at it does not make you research engaged, which I thought was quite interesting as well, whereas I would say that it definitely does. In terms of where you go with it, so if you have developed the research skills and capacities, where do you then take them? So these teachers felt that even though there's a research centre within the school, there wasn't any space for them to progress. So they're talking about, you know, if you do a PhD straight away after your first degree, you have an obvious clear pathway. Whereas if you get involved in research as a teacher, there's no clear one direction to go. And that was problematic. And in the quotation below, you'll see that it can lead to teachers feeling that they have to make a move, they have to go elsewhere. So it's maybe about looking at what can we create within a school environment that makes teachers, research active teachers, feel welcomed and that they can stay, because that's a really, really important part. In terms of another barrier to doing research, a big thing that came out was that teachers felt that they have to be able to change something in relation to what they found. So it's not just a hobby or a small project that they do within their classroom. It's if they find something that suggests they should change something, then they have to have the space and support and professional trust to change that. So this is to do with the structure of the school, systems within the school, and the extent to which teacher agency is either given space or it's restricted. And I think this quote here is really important. And this person said, you know, they just don't have the power to make that change. They'd find something that suggested they should change something within the structure of a particular area, and they couldn't change it. So that person was then demotivated to engage in more research. Another person said that they felt that if they found something in particular that might be out of line with the rest of the school, then it wouldn't be accepted. So there needs to be a conversation there about what's realistic. Obviously, you can't change everything based on one inquiry, one piece of research, but there needs to be some flexibility and space there. Otherwise, it can feel very tokenistic. Okay, so in terms of recommendations for schools, thinking about supporting teachers to engage in research, do their own research, based on just this very small study, but also wider reading, the most important thing is time and space. So how do we do this? Because you can't cut teacher workload that easily, you can't give them more time, you can't ask them to do it in their spare time, but it's about more support for teachers to engage in and with research, which can be done by building closer links with organisations that do have time and resource to do research, such as higher education, and also supportive networks of teachers engaging in research, doing their own research, that can support each other. So a kind of more collaborative approach to doing research rather than doing it by yourself. That can save time and energy as well. It should definitely not be viewed as an add-on. I think if we can start to see it as part of being a teacher, as part of the role that's built into the day, then that's really helpful. And this isn't to say that every teacher has to do it. You know, you can't force someone to do it. But I think seeing it as an extra add-on is not helpful. There needs to be a clear pathway to retain teachers within schools. And I think this comes from the quotation earlier about where do you go as you progress through that. So that's something to think about. As well, there needs to be conversations around what constitutes research and who can do it. And almost a shared vision within the school. So it will be very different from one school as it is for another school, depending on what their priorities are, the context within which they work, where they are located, and the teachers who are in it. So there needs to be quite open conversations about, would this be useful if we did it? What would it look like? Who can do it? You don't have to do it. You know, very open and transparent conversations about the direction that it might take. The most important thing from this particular study is teacher agency. So obviously this is the main point of Teaching Scotland's Future, was all around promoting teacher agency, giving teachers space and the ability to change and shape educational changes. So the ability to then act on that inquiry and research is really important if we want to promote it as something that's done not just once, but consistently. Okay, I will hand back to Kate.